Welcome to the Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Mark Coles. I have dedicated the last 15 years in the fitness industry to mastering my mind, my craft, and my business. It is my passion and mission to help each of you to do the same. Over the coming episodes, I will be providing you with all the necessary tools to be able to take full control and become a master of your career and your life. I'm really looking forward to going on this very exciting journey with you, so let's get right into today's episode. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Mastery Podcast. I have a very special guest with me today. It's been a while since I brought somebody on the podcast. I'm really, really excited to be bringing today's episode with you, which is episode 90. And it's Scaling Your Fitness Business with Tom McCormick. You will have heard of me talk about Tom in a couple of episodes. Actually, the last one and a couple before that. Tom and I have actually been working together for 7 going on 8 months now. And one of the most important things about bringing my clients on, colleagues, friends, as people develop into, as I work with people, is because they're real life, you know, and they're people that are like you and want things like you, have achieved things that you want to achieve. And Tom's been on an incredible journey. We've done a lot of work together and seen a lot of growth with his business. Tom, welcome to the Mastery Podcast.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me. Honored to be on.
Thank you. Well, Tom, I think the first thing for us is, I mean, we worked together, have been working together for the last 7 months, but prior to that, I mean, you've been in the fitness industry, and I love this because I've been in the industry 17 years this year, you've been in the industry 15 years, and one of the most important things about the guests I have on the podcast to this point, and I kind of want to keep it that way, as you rightly pointed out, we've got 10 episodes before the 100th, and maybe we'll have a very different or someone special on for that one. I think I'm heading towards the person that's potentially had the biggest impact in my career, and trying to reach out to that person. I do know that hands down one of the biggest people that impacted it was Charles Poliquin, and sadly he's no longer around, but we always pay huge respect to the influence that he's had on your career as well as mine, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, one of the biggest influences on my career.
And you know, I it's quite funny when I have people on the podcast that, you know, we do end up talking about influences. Like Joe Bennett was on the podcast not so long ago, and we ended up talking about Charles, and you know, Tom and I can kind of touch on that, because you know, it's important for me to have people on the podcast that have been in the industry a while, that have stood the test of time, because there's two differences, in my opinion, in the fitness industry at the moment. There's people that are in the industry for a short period of time and literally go down the marketing route, head down, flat out, and become marketing fitness entrepreneurs. And then there are fitness professionals who develop marketing and take their personal brand to the marketplace, solving problems for people, but are still professional coaches. And so there's two flip sides to this, and I'm very glad that the guys that I've had on the podcast, and we've had Libby on the podcast, are still coaches, still actively doing it, and got a very, very strong personal brand. So Tom, could you just give everybody listening a kind of overview of your career up to the point where you and I kind of first started speaking to each other?
Sure. So I started out as a personal trainer, as you mentioned, 15 years ago. Which was actually on the back of a rugby injury. I'd always wanted to be a professional rugby player. I kind of got pretty close, but then I was always too small, always a skinny guy, and fighting against things there. An injury forced me to do something about that and find a career. I never pictured myself working in an office. So I got the qualification. I started out, and if I'm honest, back then I wasn't a natural in the gym. A lot of guys in the industry, I think it is, they love the gym, they get great results, they think, I want to do this because this is where I enjoy being. Mine wasn't that way. I was a different, like I said, when I was skinny, I hated being in the gym. It made me nervous. I'd try and avoid it in many respects. So by getting the qualification, having had to do it for rugby, I then started to get a passion and learn. What I really enjoyed was that I got out what I put in. And that started to really motivate me, and the results I saw meant that I wanted to make it a career. So, you know, over that time, I've trained, you know, loads of people, gradually built up my business, all through word of mouth and referral. I did made a lot of mistakes on the way. And I'm in a lot better a coach now than I was then. So a couple of things that maybe are worth touching on later on is, again, you know, you talk a lot about working the gym floor and introducing yourself to people. Well, I was a really shy, self-conscious kid starting out. And so that didn't come naturally to me. So at first I struggled. And then, you know, I kind of worked out what I needed to do was have someone that found the clients for me. So I actually ended up working with a company that they sourced the clients. They took a big percentage, but I trained them. And that was great. Once I was with people one-on-one, I could build that relationship, get them results, and we worked together and built from there. Over the years, I built up my client base, as I say, all through referrals, and then I moved away. I actually set up my own gym, which I think is news to you. But I had my own gym
big
for
news.
A while.
Very
yeah,
big news.
Yeah, so I had that in central London, which was brilliant. It was, you know, a bit of an ego project, really, if we can talk about that again, because I'm sure there's lots of people that think, oh, I want to run my own gym. It made me feel great saying I ran my own gym, but I didn't have a business plan for it. My plan was, oh, I'm good at training people. I've got, loads of clients, loads of people want to work with me, build it and they will come type thing. Anyway, you know, after a few years, that was going well. We were making good money, but we weren't making, you know, a fortune by any means. Unfortunately, an issue with our landlords, which was National Rail and the Crossrail project, meant that our gym kind of had to cease in existence. But I had my client base. And I moved them into another gym in the central of London. And I've been training them ever since.
Great. Well, it's interesting you say that, because when I first started M10, it was open a gym and they will come. And it's good. But then you kind of forget that you're actually running a business. So a big part of everything that I do on a day-to-day basis, talking to professional coaches that own gyms or are going to open gyms, is I'm honest. And I'm the reality of, you know, actually owning a gym is you have to become a marketer. Before you become a marketer, you have to have a business plan. And you kind of probably, like me in the early days, learnt on the job.
Yeah, 100%.
But if you want to make a success of something, you can't really, or if you want to make it work quickly, if you've got high overheads, I mean, you need to go in there with a solid business plan. And the interesting thing about scaling your fitness business is because you then ended up working in the City of London. And we want to keep referencing this back to everybody that's listening, because there's going to be some people that are listening to the podcast and thinking, what are some of the gems that Tom's kind of learnt along the way as a PT on the ground? Mm-hmm. And then the whole idea of the podcast is about scaling, because Tom has gone through 15 years of increasing revenue, ending up having a particular time away from one face-to-face PT to grow his online business that we're actually going to be talking about at quite length here. But from a personal training perspective, Tom, one of the big things that I wanted to ask you was, how important have you found your face-to-face coaching business? How important has that been in the growth and development as you as a professional, as a coach?
Absolutely crucial, fundamental to everything. I mean, the work I do now online is basically built on the lessons I've learned in person, and then being able to take those lessons across and apply them in admittedly a slightly different setting working with people online. But a lot of the art of coaching is still there. You just have to find different ways to communicate it to people when you're not stood in front of them. So those lessons have been huge.
And in terms of kind of somebody that's thinking about making the switch online, what are they missing out on by not necessarily doing face-to-face coaching?
Well, I'd say that online coaching is way harder to do than in person. Sorry. So if you're jumping straight to online without that history in person, in the trenches, in the gym, I think you're making life difficult for yourself. It's doable. Absolutely. I'm sure there's people that have achieved it. But for me, it's been invaluable. All those countless hours and situations when I've had dialogue back and forth with someone has allowed me to sort of set myself up for success when I'm dealing with someone who's the other side of the world. Is I see these problems in advance. I can communicate them to them and navigate them and kind of hold their hand through the process and in many respects try and avoid some of these hurdles because I've seen it before.
Yeah.
If I was just doing that straight off the bat online, because it's just so much more difficult to build that relationship and have that constant dialogue with them, I think that's a real challenge.
No, and I completely agree with you. I mean, I always talk to personal trainers about doing your time, right? And the most important thing is, you know, you and I, okay, admittedly, you know, we're very, very close in terms of our length of time in the fitness industry. with the rise of kind of social media now and everybody, you know, this is obviously talking about scaling your fitness business. You and I, you know, I think, has Facebook been on, what, eight, nine years now? Is it more? Probably about 10 years, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably about that time frame.
Yeah. And you and I, in the first 5 years, I mean, we didn't have this distraction on social media of people growing incredible businesses online. You must have your own thoughts and opinions on what you see, because we see a lot of fitness professionals growing, trying to grow very, very quickly, but being very unfulfilled. If you had your opportunity to, as we are right now, to just give your opinion to any coach that's, you know, thinking of jumping ship before they've done a percentage of their time in a gym. If you had a trainer saying to you, look, you know, I've been in the industry a couple of years in the gym, I'm finding it really difficult, I'm going to jump online to do that. What's your advice?
Well, first of all, if they're finding it difficult in person, I'd ask, well, why are you finding it in different person? What's going to be different online? What, you know, how's that going to fulfill you or allow you to achieve your goals? If you're struggling in person, by and large, on most people, I think they'd struggle online just the same. It's not that there's anything magical about being online. I think lots of people think it's a super easy lifestyle, but what you've got to understand is that having online clients is just as demanding as having in-person clients. You actually probably need to be much more proactive, because you need to be constantly thinking about them without having them stood in front of your face.
Yeah.
And so, I'd wonder if you're not fulfilled in person, is it going to change being online? You might want to actually think about, you know, what you're trying to achieve, what your message is, and who you're trying to reach, and you know, is that right for you?
Yeah.
In that respect, then if you are going to go online, I think you've got to be really clear about who you're trying to help. Because one thing I'd say that in my in-person clients, there's a reasonable diverse group of people I train in person, because I've trained some of them for a decade, and they've sort of grown with me as I've grown through my journey. And then there's other guys I've taken on a bit more recently. It was a slightly different demographic, but in person, I just work with one, you know, one type of person, which
online,
is the skinny guy trying to, sorry, as I say, in person, online, I work with skinny guys trying to build muscle, you know, the typical hard gainers. And you really have to niche down online, because it's such a wide pool. So many voices trying to get traction. Whereas in person PT, you know, location's an element. Your proximity to someone. So being based in central London, most of my clients are guys that work in banking, you know, they work in finance, they, you know, and they make good money, but they want someone who's close to them, because they haven't got that much time to spend away from the desk in the gym.
And based on that, obviously working in the city, it's very important for us to kind of talk about this, because when you first started PTing, how much were you charging an hour?
So way back when I was with that that company that they sourced the client, I believe it was £40 an hour, but I got £20 back then.
Okay, great. So what you've essentially done, and this is why we're going to talk about scaling, over the last, you know, 7, 8 years, 9 years, your goal has been to slowly increase your fees over time, which you've done. Yeah. And at what point, and we're going to talk about scaling your business, because we're not going to talk about running a personal training face-to-face business. We're going to talk about you scaling and you growing over time. What got you to the point where you went, okay, I've done so many hours, I am earning a certain amount of money, I'm ready to make the next shift? What did you initially, did you see the next shift as increasing your hourly rate? Is that how you first started to scale? And then at what point did you say, now I'm going to break online?
Yep. So absolutely, it was the price increase, and for a long time it was the price increase. Once I was full, I'd increase it, you know, by £5 an hour or something like that.
Was that your big? Was, if you don't mind me just jumping in terms of getting to the point when you felt you were ready to increase your price, what was the determining factor for you?
So I suppose there was a few stages. So once was as I increased my education. So when I was first working as a PT, I was also doing a sports science degree. So once I'd got a bit of experience and I finished the sports science degree, I felt like I was in a position to charge a little bit more. I had that bit more knowledge and another accreditation to my name. So that went there. Likewise, after I'd completed my master's in strength and conditioning, that was another element. But then most importantly was the results I was getting and the number of people I had wanting to train with me. So there was the demand. So when I had a bit of a waiting list, certainly for peak hours, that was an opportunity for me to put the price up. Not necessarily always for existing people, but it's like anyone that's coming on, the new price is this. And you know, and it's more than the amount clients are paying is more than doubled across that timeline.
And do you know what's great is you've just reiterated something that I teach a lot. When there's, you know, when you create a brand and people essentially want to come and work for you, that means that people outside of the gym are saying, look, you need to go and see this guy, Tom. And this guy, Tom, when you you go and reach out to him, he'll book you in for a consultation, whatever. That means you're in demand. And if the sessions aren't dropping, you're in a perfect position to increase fees and maybe drop off an old client that's not doing particularly well. And then what we have, this increase in fees, changing of the clients over, and that opportunity for you to scale. So to any trainer out there, Tom, that thinks, you know, I'm struggling to scale my business by increasing my hourly rate, the things that you did, one was making sure you're in demand, two, making sure you're hitting a quality service, three, obviously, therefore, getting referrals. Is there anything else you want to add on that you would say to trainers? Listen, you know, you might be charging 35 an hour now. In most cities, to me, there's another 10, 15 pounds on top of that as a minimum in terms of demand that you could eventually increase your prices to. What would you add to how to scale that increase in revenue?
Well, I think one of the most important things that's overlooked is actually genuinely caring about the results and being invested in your client's results and realizing that doing one good job of just one person can be the key that unlocks the door to a load of referrals. I've got one particular client who years and years ago, I was too busy. I didn't want to take him on. It's when I was running my gym. I tried to pass him to someone else and he was insistent he wanted to work with me. So I picked a slightly higher number and said, you know, if you want to work with me, it's cost this. He said, fine. Guy got incredible results, done multiple photo shoots. Little did I know, he was incredibly well connected, you know, in very wealthy circles, and a whole host of clients then sort of contacted me wanting to train. And that then gave me the platform to push on. But when I was working with him, I was chasing him up nonstop. I knew his goal was big. He'd been training, but he just hadn't seen the results. He was committed, and we needed to find a way to get him in the shape that he always dreamed he could get in. Yeah. When we achieved that, he basically couldn't stop telling people about it. So I think it's really important to actually really want the results for your clients, and not from a selfish point of view of this will make me feel good, but realizing that if you make them feel that great, they just won't be able to help themselves but tell everyone they know.
Do you know what? That as a lesson, guys, if you could stop the podcast right now, that would double your revenue. You know, if you're a PT face-to-face, I never forget, you know, just like Tom's done, day after day, hour after hour, just making sure you were doing the best you possibly could, increasing it, measuring, you know, is there something I could do? I know you're very diligent with this, Tom. Is there something better I could be doing? Is there a part of my service that I can increase? And to the point where your clients, you don't ask for it, but your clients end up telling everybody, but it's getting the result that they actually want. And then they start telling everybody they are your best piece of marketing. Mm-hmm. So just like everybody, we're going to have trainers going, all right, I'm a PT, I'm working in a gym. When do we get to earn more? You know, when do we get to grow more? I know in the industry, everybody's like, I want to earn more. Well, stop, check. One is become great so that everybody talks about you. Next stage is you get to the point where you know that you've got a ceiling to a certain degree. I know right now that you could, and you have told me recently that you've just said silly number to the odd person because... and they'll pay it, right? And you're in that position where you can. And I'm sure over time that'll become even more as you develop. But now you're in this position. So we get to the point where you didn't have an online business. Where did you start growing your Instagram page?
So a couple of years ago, I started dabbling with it.
What was the reason for, just so that we can get the context of this, you were PTing, you must have thought, right, now it's time to do something to scale. What happened there?
So the reason, you want to know the reason?
Yeah.
100% my reason is my family. So we got two young kids, my wife and I, and like I knew I needed to do more to get where I wanted to go and have the lifestyle we wanted.
Amazing.
So, the idea is she's given up work and she used to have a really good job. And the idea is to her, she doesn't have to go back to work. If she wants to go back, it's on her terms. Yeah. So financially, we're in a position she can do the hours she wants in the job that she enjoys, not just going to collect a paycheck.
Yeah.
And that wasn't going to happen, me just training people for even a very good hourly rate. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And so do you know what? I got, is it Derman, the one of the Shark Tank guys? He basically said the other day, "Oh, here we go. Here's another 15-year millionaire." Because ultimately, his big thing is, you know, all the million, everybody thinking that it's going to take five minutes to just achieve what you want. Essentially, you've now got to this point where you are, you know, 15 years into your career, and you're now in this very fortunate position where you go, okay, I've got to a certain point, and now, can I now take it to the next level, right?
Yes.
So with everything that's going on social media at the moment and seeing people's opportunity to scale, was your natural thought process online?
Yes, I very much thought from seeing what other people have achieved and reaching people, that was the way to go. I've never done any sort of any on the ground marketing, like I said, with PT. I've just relied on word of mouth. So I didn't have any experience in, you know, I suppose, marketing around me, and obviously online presented a great opportunity. You can reach so many more people.
Yeah. And just if you got to 20 minutes of the podcast, you're thinking, where are we going with this? Let me just tell you that Tom has had an incredible amount of growth by serving his time online, face to face, to be able to then leverage a degree, a very big degree of what he knows. And over the next part of the podcast, we're now going to be talking about how he's made the shift from personal training to online, what has actually happened online, a lot of the pitfalls and things that he struggled with online. And also as a team, me and him, what have we been able to do to actually get his online presence to where it is? So Tom, we got to the point where you started your online, let's say you started your presence online.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people say, I want to start online training. The first thing you do when you're online training is you have to decide what the brand is. And I don't think you did that from the beginning, did you?
Not really. No. So, I mean, I had a website, Flat Whites Free Weights, which was basically because I enjoy lifting weights. And with two young kids, I was addicted to coffee, and Flat White was my favorite one. I wanted to put some thoughts out online in terms of writing some articles and things. And so that was the brand name, which isn't exactly catchy. And everyone would sort of stumble over it. First time you heard it, you called it Free Weight Flat Thingamajigs or whatever. So it wasn't a masterstroke of marketing in that respect. And we've worked on that. We've rebranded. Now everything's under the Tom McCormick name.
Yeah, definitely. Now, interesting. So you went online. You did your website. You started off your Instagram page with the intention of what? What was your original intention with your online platform?
Well, so it was to build up my online coaching, much like we have done. Again, a little bit like when I had a gym, I was kind of like, well, if I start posting online, people will want to come work with me. They'll be sort of dropping emails, beating down my door, as it were, to get in front of me and
did that
start
happen?
Working. Nope.
Right. Well, the first thing, this is amazing, right? Because I never forget when I first started posting on Facebook before Instagram came about. You know, I saw people writing blogs and no one was liking them. No one was engaging with them. And I have to tell you, Tom, that you actually messaged me yesterday and said, there you go, on your podcast again, you've asked people to DM you to have a look at their Instagram. Because it upsets me to see how long people are, I just want to help people. It's like when you see somebody in the gym doing something wrong, you and me have always gone up to people and just helped them because it's naturally we care. And I see a trainers posting day to day on their social media, not realizing that there is no brand, there is no clarity with what it is. So you were posting, and you were posting to what audience? Anybody? Fat loss, muscle building? What was it all about?
Well, in my mind, I was posting to the I'd identified the avatar I wanted to work with. It just turns out I really wasn't efficient at speaking in their language. Essentially, what I posted was what I was interested in. So, you know, I'll get quite deep into the theory behind certain parts of training, and you know, a topic would interest me. I'd make posts about that, not realizing that the guy who's struggling to build muscle, who's new to this, has no idea. It doesn't relate to them in any way, shape or form. I'm just satisfying my own ego, really, by posting some stuff that makes you look vaguely intelligent.
Yeah. And a lot of people contact me and they'll say, you know, what do you think to my page? And I said, it's all about you and it's sharing information that you like. Now, you had a bit of a breakthrough in writing your blog content. And Tom, guys, you know, is a very, very intelligent guy, writes incredibly well. But you had a bit of a breakthrough. And I think a lot of trainers put a lot of their content out trying to get attention and trying to tell people they're great. And one of the things that Tom just does is write great content and people find out that he's great. And you got picked up by what was the introduction to writing for various different people, like websites?
Okay, so I sort of took a gradual step-by-step approach to that. So I started writing on my own blog to improve my skill of writing. I'm sure when I first started writing, it wasn't as good as it is now, and obviously in time it'll improve. And then I reached out to someone who I knew who had a pretty reasonable following online, but they had their own blog, and offered them a guest blog. They were happy to have that. I did that, got some good feedback. Someone contacted me from a slightly larger website saying, really like this, can you do some for me? Same thing. This is all, free stuff. Sort of built my confidence and got to the point where I was like, right, I'm going to submit to T Nation, which is, as far as I was concerned in the industry, like it's the website, the one I'd always like love reading from day dot as a trainer. You know, I was on there every day reading the stuff. I'd always thought it'd be cool to have my name up there with an article. So I submitted an article to them, and then there was sort of crickets, a bit of tumbleweed came through, no reply. 2 weeks later, it's about a two line email saying, sorry, can't use this. Thanks, nothing more. And at that point, for a minute or two, I was kind of like, right, I'm no good at this writing, I'm not going to bother. And then the following week, I'd been setting aside time each Wednesday to write. And then I had this idea for an article. I thought, this is good, I'll submit this one. If they don't take this, then I'll call it quits. So I submitted it, and then literally within about half an hour, an email came back from the editor. Love this, great, this will work. Yes, and then from there, I've now written, I don't know, about 20 articles for T Nation, roughly the same for Breaking Muscle. I've been on Elite FTS several times. And what I hadn't realized, a little bonus on this, is that T Nation pay you. So that article I was writing thinking it'd just be great to have my name up there. Now, all of the articles I've written for them, I've been paid for, which is literally a bonus.
So this seemed to be a diet. I mean, I've got over 300 blogs on M10, and my business on M10 Life section, there's over obviously 100 mini blogs with the podcast and stuff. How have you found the value of writing your blogs over the years? Has had a great impact in your reach?
Yes. So, I mean, from purely a business standpoint, it gets me in front of way more eyeballs than I would otherwise achieve. You know, like T Nation has 1.5 million followers on Facebook or something like that. So their reach is huge. And I've now picked up several online clients who are purely contacting me because they've read an article and they're like, I want to work with you because this is great. Yeah. I've even picked up an in-person PT client who's read my stuff on T Nation, but he happens to be based in London and reached out. So just from a financial point of view, it's been very, very good in that respect. But the real reason why I think it's so valuable is because I have to now distill these concepts down into a language that is understandable to the layperson, and it makes me better at communicating with my clients in person and online. I know the subject matter better because I have to research it, write it, and think how I'm communicating that message. And yeah, I think it's made me a better coach.
And I think, do you know what, Tom, you're saying that, you know, over the years I sit, and only Phil Lerney and I were at his wife's baby shower at the weekend, and we had a great conversation about the hours that we've spent writing. Mm-hmm. And when you write an article, you don't just off the cuff, you know, obviously way more than me for writing for top publications. You know, I remember when Muscle and Fitness or Men's Health would ask me to write an article, and I'd spend hours looking at the research, making sure that it wasn't be contradictory. And there's nothing better than an editor coming back saying, nothing to change with this. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember, you know, John Plummer, even with Flex, I sent him an article and he said, I wouldn't change a thing. Love it. And I thought, do you know what? That's an editor saying, great job. And I know with you, it's happened the same. But it's not just about the accolade of it. It's the fact that you take the time to research your subject, and you get better at your content and your subject matter when you have to research it and you present it. Now, you obviously have got traction with that. People were getting to know you. You still weren't building a lot of online clients. And then we got to the point where you said, I'm going to reach out to Mark. So that was 7 months ago. Mm-hmm. What was our original goal? What, from your perspective, the whole idea of scaling now, where do you want to get to?
Right. Well, we set the target of let's get 20 online clients, very specifically. I had a handful at the time. A couple of those were people who'd contacted me after reading my stuff, and the other few were people that I previously trained in person who had moved away. So I hadn't really been very successful at using the internet to draw people in to working with me. So initially our goal was, right, let's hit that number, let's achieve that, and then we can build. That's another platform to build on.
Great. Now, let's think of it like this. You'd already developed your following at that time was what?
on Instagram.
Yeah.
When we started working together, I had around about 10,000 followers
yeah.
who had come to me for a collection of, you know, all sorts of different posts
yeah.
and weren't very engaged or you know, interacting with my page.
But credit to you, through your own persistence with getting your publications out there, your blogs out there, which, to be honest, over the years has accounted for a lot of my stuff. I remember one of my videos actually going on the Lad Bible website. And I woke up that morning to 5,000 new followers,
yeah.
Who granted aren't personal trainers and probably over the years have left me, but it certainly helped my reach. And so, you know, you've done something which a lot of trainers aren't doing at the moment. It's writing blogs and getting in front of eyeballs. So that's a great way of increasing your following. What we suddenly realized is that following, after I started to speak to you very clearly about what is your audience, who are your customer, and you were like, well, this is who I want them to be, but to me, flat whites and free weights was not that, and certainly potentially confusing. There's a lot of trainers out there who are trying to grow a brand, but in all fairness, it's a personal brand, not a corporate brand. So flat whites, free weights was a name, not necessarily what the brand stood for. And what the brand stood for, interestingly, was you've had a journey yourself to add muscle, correct?
Yes, 100%. Yes.
And the interesting thing that we identified there was the big reason why Tom wants to work with skinny guys is because of your own backstory. So just briefly, your backstory, I mean, that plays a big part in being able to communicate with your audience, right?
Yeah, exactly. In some respects, it makes my life a lot easier because I'm talking to myself from a decade, maybe 15 years ago, and I obviously know myself very well. So I know the struggles I was going through, the thoughts I had, and what I needed. Now I've got that experience, I can pinpoint, and that's what I needed. But back then, I was, you know, like a needle in a haystack, searching for the answers, not having a clue what those answers were.
Yeah, yeah. And so what we did initially, and this is a real big tip for you guys, you know, your backstory, if you've been struggling with weight loss and you've got credibility in that area, I did a video the other day about credibility. Tom's credibility was himself. And granted, you hadn't actually taken a lot of skinny guys to adding muscle at that. You know, it's not like you'd helped people add muscle in the gym for 10, 15 years, but it wasn't, you didn't have that reputation purely as that.
No,
and ultimately we had to identify that as the market that we were going to target. So even with 10,000 followers, we were about to introduce your audience to exactly who it is that you're going to target.
Yes, yeah. And as I did that, and as you'd identified in advance, my numbers might drop off at first because people that were on my page were something like, oh, this isn't for me. And it happened just like you predicted. But then it flipped and we started steadily climbing and it grew really well from there.
And so the first thing we identified was you're growing a personal brand, and to grow a personal brand, it is Tom McCormick, right? So mm-hmm. The big thing that we had to do initially was change Flat White's Free White's website, get the Tom McCormick URL, change the Instagram page, and then make it very, very clear in your bio that you were the skinny, providing the solution, the skinny guy's equation, right? Solving the skinny guy's equation, that's correct, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it, yeah.
So essentially you go on Tom's page, you're solving the skinny guy equation, and then it's a case of creating content to that particular person and not wavering from it. That's yeah. Something that you've been, it's been very evident with you. What were some of the initial strategies that you kind of put in place to start talking to that specific customer, and how do you feel that, you know, what are some of the things that you did, you know, that we talked about that actually got people to be very, very clear of who you were talking about, talking to?
So I just, first of all, put myself in their shoes and thought back to when I was starting out and what was I struggling with? What questions did I have? What mistakes was I making? You know, the muscle mags were telling me this, which weren't actually right for me. And what were the answers to all that? And I had a great big list of sort of things that they were struggling with. I created my top 10 struggles of the skinny guy. And then from that, sort of like a tree branch, worked off on, okay, how can I put content out that educates, informs, motivates, and inspires them over the course of each week, each month, to get them understanding what they need to do and reach their goals.
So that point you just said, educate,
inform, motivate, and inspire.
Right. We've talked about this at length, but a lot of you guys don't really necessarily get this. You know, educate, inform, motivate, and inspire. I mean, within those realms, educate. You're an educated guy. You do a lot of research on your subjects. Mm-hmm. Your content teaches.
Yes.
How are you inspiring people?
Well, by showing them my journey, which I something we'll touch on as well. I wasn't that good at first. It was lots of infographics and I was biased towards the education. Showing them what's possible, showing them some client results to start showcasing what other people are achieving, and the pursuit over the long term pays off.
So this is where we want to not let people be under the illusion that, oh, it's going to be rapido. Initially, were people biting?
Nope.
Important that we know.
As I said, initially my numbers went down. So with Instagram, you can, if you've got 10,000 followers, you can do the swipe up on your story. And I had that, and then I didn't have that because it just dipped below, and then it bounced back up, and now we're comfortably clear of that. But it was fantastic you having that that foresight to let me know you might drop off at first, because otherwise, if I was doing this my own, I'd have been thinking, oh, this isn't working. What am I doing? I won't pursue this, because in advance you'd flagged it up for me. I kind of knew it was a possibility. I trusted the process. I just kept doing it. We'd agreed I was going to post twice a day, every day, and that's what I've done for 7 and a bit months. I haven't missed a day in that respect. Just showing up every day with a bit of information for the guys that I want to work with. And in time, that creates momentum.
And do you know what's quite funny? The reason I had the insight for the drop-off in followers is because when I used to do, when everybody started doing the tick and cross videos for saying this exercise is right, this exercise is wrong, it was very valuable. It grew my following very, very quickly. But as I then doubled down on helping personal trainers build a business and a brand, even though I'd been teaching a bit about that, it was combined with my bodybuilding and training execution. Then I wanted to get very, very clear on just helping personal trainers build a business and a brand. I had 5,000 to 6,000 people drop off my page in a matter of months because I suddenly wasn't solving their problem. But then I was solving other people's problems, and trainers were coming on board in a quicker. A lot of bodybuilders were moving away from my page. And so what we did was, obviously, you stayed consistent. How important has consistency been in this journey for you?
It's crucial. I think in anything you want to achieve, consistency is vital. It's much like the message I'm putting across to people about muscle building, is that they need to be consistent. If I make a couple of posts then disappear, which is what I used to do when I first got the page going, I can't expect anyone to really buy in or respect my opinion, because yeah, I'm not showing up for them. I'm not showing that I'm committed. So by being consistent, I think, you know, almost subliminally, I'm sending anyone who's potentially wanting to work with me that message of, like, he cares, he's in this for the long haul, and he's going to do what's required.
Well, let's on this level of consistency, I think I want to just drop the bomb with everybody as to what you kind of have achieved, and then we're going to jump into how we did that, because our whole idea at the time when we first started, what was kind of online coaching as a percentage of your revenue? How has that changed? And then we're going to get into how that's happened.
Okay, so it's changed a great deal. So it was about 8% of my revenue. Now it's about a third of my revenue, and my revenue overall is higher than it was then. So it's not a third of the same amount, it's a third of a higher number. So it's dramatically improved.
So I think we worked out there's like nearly like a 20% increase in overall revenue across that time frame.
Yes. Yeah. Well, actually, it's closer to 30% of total revenue,
yep,
in that time frame. And now online coaching takes up 25% of that total number.
And we originally had a target of, was it 3K in that first period of time?
Yep. Just from online coaching.
From online coaching. That target was a year. We've done that in 6 months.
Yeah, we hit that. Yeah.
So that's a big thing. It's just looking at revenue wise, guys, this has been a huge jump. Now, how we've done that is not like, oh, great, I'm going to start an online page and it's just going to grow as quick as we can. I'm not going to be that guy that says, you know, here we go, jump on board, it's a six-figure solution, bam, bam, bam. This is a growing process. You started with how many online clients?
4.
And now?
20.
Great. So we're now increasing that. But what we've also been able to do is, off the leverage of the online clients that you've got, we've now got a really revved up audience of people specifically looking to improve their body shape. Now, online clients, what has been the hardest thing about actually getting online clients?
So converting them to paying clients is a challenge, because, you know, they don't know you. You've got some content out there and they maybe find it interesting, but, you know, parting with their hard-earned cash is a bigger sell. So now, being one thing that's really helped me is being humanizing my page is one thing you talked about. So there was a lot of information, lots of infographics, but not that much about me. And people, they buy from you, they buy from the person. They don't want to just think it's some, you know, infographic generator page. So whilst the infographics are still important for me, finding strategies to get myself a bit more visible, let them build a kind of feel like they're building a personal relationship with me, and seeing if I'm a good fit for them. Because if they want to hire a coach, they need to know it's someone that they can work with, and they gel with.
And would you say that's been the biggest part of the growth of your online clients has come from adding the human element in?
Yes, in terms of actually recruiting clients, yes. So the first step was building that following.
Eyeballs, eyeballs.
Infographic, yeah. Yep. And then in terms of actually then recruiting clients, yes, being visible in my stories, having videos, having photos of me or videos of me talking through topics on the page as well has really made a difference. And then understanding that a good Instagram post isn't just about how many likes it gets. So that's important for building a following. But also there's some posts I've made which are nowhere near as many likes, but they get me 3 or 4 inquiries, and realizing the difference in the type of post you're putting out and what you're trying to achieve with each post.
So quite interesting here. We've got attention strategy. Attention strategy is get our content out there. I had over, 1,500 likes and 700 shares on one of my infographics the other day, which actually bought me, as I saw on the post, 40 new followers. Now, those followers are going to watch me just as they do you. And the infographics are going to get shared all over the world. And the quality of the infographics, if it's consistent, will keep people on your page because they like the content. The likelihood of them buying from you, like you said, is very, very low. So what you've got to do is the attention content versus the engagement content are two different types, aren't they?
Mm.
And
yes,
that's what you've noticed.
Very much so.
That most people get it wrong. Attention, attention, attention. We've got to humanize it and make people feel connected to the brand, because people buy from you, which is the brand, Tom McCormick. But if they don't get to know Tom McCormick, it doesn't happen.
Yes.
And interestingly, we've got to that 20, and then we've got engaging people. What we've also realized is, as we've got to now, is that we still need to try and leverage and build a better relationship with the people that are following you. So we built your initial lead magnet, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
And the whole idea of the lead magnet was to get the people that are following you onto an email list where you can build more relationships. And your lead magnet was what? To those people that are new to lead magnets, it's a free program or free piece of information that you can give away in exchange for an email. So what was that?
So that was the ultimate skinny guy's Bible, how to gain your first 10 pounds of muscle. And it's a 10-week training and nutrition ebook that will walk them through the process of gaining their first 10 pounds.
Amazing. And the good thing about this is that you've seen that Tom's built his following. He's got very, very clear, very consistent. We've got an online client base in less than 6 months, which has given him the level of revenue that he wanted. But then more importantly, now building the lead magnet, which has got over 700 on it now, right?
It's just shy of 850 now.
850, right? So
yeah.
In less than 3 months, 2 months, we've got to 850 people on the email list, which is a lead. And therefore, these are people that have said, I like your content on social media. I'm actually now going to join your email list, which is closer to Tom, which is actually going to guide people into a Facebook group, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
And the latest thing that are we going to mention what could potentially be down the pipeline?
Yeah, we can mention that.
Go on then.
The big reveal. So we have the Lean Bulk Academy, which will be an online resource subscription process for guys that want to work with me, want to have guidance to their training nutrition and understand more about it, to take them through the process of adding muscle and also educating them so they can continue to gain muscle long term. One of the reasons for doing that, obviously, is the time is still an issue. Training online clients still takes up time. And this allows me to reach more people in a more time efficient manner at a slightly lower barrier to entry price wise.
So with this whole episode is about scaling your fitness business. What we're going to talk about here is we now have a way of building up a relationship on Instagram. We now have a way of getting somebody's email address and building a closer relationship and giving something for free. We're then going to have the Lean Indian, we talked about Juggies Academy, didn't we? But we're going to talk about the Lean Bulking Academy. And to be honest with you, building an academy, building somewhere for people to learn is of huge value. And it's quite interesting that Juggy, who initially has been working with me, who was on episode number 50, has gone on to create an academy as well, which is a learning resource for people in your niche demographic that is not going to cost them as much money as online coaching, but gets the people that aren't ready to spend as much on one-to-one coaching. So we have these different tiers. Granted, the people in your academy for building lean muscle could eventually get to the point where they go, I want some one-on-one attention with Tom, which you could eventually charge more money. The point here, guys, is this is scaling a fitness business. This is doing your time as a PT, getting online, actually getting very clear of your demographic. And this, ultimately, Tom, has allowed one important thing, which is why we're talking on a Wednesday, correct? What's ended up happening with one of your goals was to do what?
So, you know, a clear goal of mine was to work from home one day per week. So I now have work from home Wednesday. So, yeah, I'm sat in the living room as we speak on a Wednesday. After this call, I'll be working from home the whole day.
Great. Well, I mean, do you know what? I mean, in terms of the vision, now I talk a lot, and very, very soon I'm going to be launching my Brand Impact Mastery online resource, online course, which is helping coaches build the brand, look at kind of all these different opportunities and marketing and getting more people like Tom's tribe to invest in them. But from your perspective now, the vision, to give everybody an idea of how what your vision looks like now and how much clarity has played a role in scaling your business to not only that income from online coaching, but now being able to see where the scale opportunities are. What do you now see now having this vision in front of you?
Well, firstly, the vision's much bigger than it was. So that's great. That's exciting, a little bit scary, but I can have a bigger impact and achieve what I want to achieve with that vision. And that vision is essentially, from a business point of view, is I want to help 100,000 skinny guys boost their self-confidence, self-belief, self-worth, and perception of what is possible by transforming their physique, by building muscle and staying lean. So with that vision, now it keeps me, you know, hyper-focused on all the little things I need to do to achieve that.
I love that. And do you know, when we talk about these little things, I mean, one of the big things that we do when we meet up and, you know, you come over to my house and we sit down and we go through everything and brainstorm ideas, you're a very, very diligent action taker. In terms of, there's a lot of people with ideas and stuff. I mean, I know you are very diligent with action. There's a lot of people sitting there wanting to do something like this. Now, you're no different to anybody else. In fact, one thing that I haven't touched on is your confidence levels, because I remember when we talked about Insta stories and doing videos, did you enjoy doing them?
No. One of the biggest struggles for me was the humanization of my page. I mean, I still have many of those same insecurities as a sort of teenager growing up, of being a naturally skinny guy who was bullied for being so small. I don't really like having my photo taken. I'd rather not have to chat into a camera most of the time if I couldn't. That's one of the reasons I went for writing when I started out, was it was easier to put the thoughts down there and hopefully they're of value, but I didn't have to be visible. So that's been a real challenge for me.
Go on, Tom, carry on.
No. After you, go for it.
I was just going to say, I don't mean to lean towards any emotion here, but I know it's a subject that matters to both me and you, the growth of our families and our lives. But suddenly standing in front of the camera and doing it, the link to you not doing it versus doing it and everything that you want to achieve in life, were you able to make that correlation to it's an important thing I need to do?
Yes. You know, we had a meeting and I remember you saying, you know, you need to focus more on this. This is, you know, what you kind of miss, you're missing out on. And then I think you said, well, you know, how does that impact on what you want to achieve? And then you go through that flow of, well, if I'm not in front of the video and I'm not getting in front of those potential clients, I'm not converting them, and that means I don't reach this financial target. And that has implications for my family, yeah. which is the most important driver. And I don't want to be letting them down.
And you know what? I talk to so many trainers at the moment. They're like, I just can't. I don't take action. I don't do anything. And sometimes one of the biggest problems is responsibility. You know, you and I have both got massive responsibilities. We've got families. And when I was very independent, it was interesting that I could only link everything to bodybuilding. But ultimately, if I wanted to be known as the best coach in the country for what I do, do you know what? If I was eating 7 meals a day, and at the height of eating the most I've ever eaten in an off season, alongside Jordan, me and him were messaging each other going, oh my God, I can't eat any more carbs. And I didn't miss the meals, and I didn't, because I knew that the growth of my physique was directly correlated with my reputation in the industry and the ability to meet other different people. And so I didn't have to have the responsibility of a wife. I didn't have to have the responsibility of training personal trainers all over the world. My goal at that time was so clear that I wanted to be one of the best coaches in the country. And so if eating seven meals was what was needed to get there, like with you, if getting up at 5:30 in the morning till X o'clock at night to become the best coach that you could be, you just do it. And I think trainers have a big disconnect with that. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the other things is, it's been huge for me is finding that why and really identifying with it. But well, it happens when you have a family, it kind of naturally happens. But before, I'd probably just focus on being the best coach I could be for my clients, and that was my goal. And that's great, nothing wrong with that at all. But now I've got a bigger purpose, and that means I have to overcome some of those fears. And rather than just really getting geeky and learning the stuff to help my own clients, I need to find ways to get out and help more people. And that means I have to put myself out there a bit more, which isn't something that I'm comfortable with at first, but very quickly you adapt. So now I haven't got a problem having a chat on my Instagram and worrying, is that perfect? Is it going to get criticism? I put out what I can, the best content I can to help the people I'm trying to help.
And avoiding criticism. Most people are terrified that the likes of you and me are going to read their content and be, oh my God, it's absolutely rubbish, or da 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 da. One of the things I teach trainers is, at the end of the day, the most important people that are reading your content, Tom, are skinny guys.
Mm-hmm.
And would you find that the easiest way to quash any fear of writing content is to just be clear who it is you're trying to help?
100%. Be clear who you're trying to speak to and what they need, and only try and help them, and accept that that won't necessarily help everyone. That's the whole point. If you can't help everyone, you can't please everyone all of the time. So that's it. And actually, in some respects, relishing that when you get that little bit of criticism, that's fine, because it means that you're showing, putting stuff out there that really helps who it needs to help, and someone else disagrees with it, which is also fine, because they're not your target market, and you're kind of filtering out the people that you don't need to, or certainly at this moment in time, don't need to be in front of. You just want people that you can help.
Yeah, and it's specific, and interestingly enough, we started at 10,000 following, and we're over, how many are now?
Just north of 23,000, I think.
23,000 people. And these are people following Thomas Page because they want to improve muscle and they resonate with his message. And this has been done from probably a drop from 10 to 8 to 10 to 9 up to over 23,000 followers in 7 months. And I'm not going, I never like to be, you can be exactly, you can be like Tom, because Tom's putting out, at some point you're putting 3 posts out a day, right?
Yeah, I did that for a period of time, yeah.
And that saw a lot of growth.
Yes, that was around Christmas.
Have you got your figures, Tom?
Yeah, I have got my figures.
Guys, I know it's quite a lengthy podcast today, but do you know what? I don't give a monkey's, because I could sit and talk to Tom all day, because do you know why? It's helping you. And if you are halfway through this, you have to take a break, or we're not going to say we're going to go on for another half an hour. But if you've got to this point, just hang on, because this is going to be a big impact in your career. The growth, just talk about some of the figures kind of like at the beginning, middle and end. What's changed?
So you said you wanted me to take a look at what was happening with my Instagram, what posts were getting likes and engagement and stuff. And I'm not sure you expected me to do this Excel spreadsheet. But anyway, I went away and did this this spreadsheet. So week one, when we started out together, I had a combined weekly reach of 7,460, and I got 42 profile visits. I then kept plugging away, and week on week it grew. And then it kind of settled after about 12 weeks. I'd been consistently getting 80 to 90,000 reach per week. And I was, I got 1,000 visits to my profile in one of those weeks. But then it settled in there for a while. And I kept putting the content out.
Which is where, Tom, most people would back off and think it's not working.
Yes. So we kind of, it looked like I'd reached a bit of a plateau, because in week 8, I'd reached 95,000 people. But then in week 13, I was only at 68,000 people. However, I kept plugging away, and around that Christmas time, it really jumped. Now, people are on their phone, they've got more time maybe, but all of a sudden, I was hitting north of 200,000 reach per week.
Unbelievable.
Obviously, as a result, I was getting much more engagement, lots more inquiries, lots more questions coming my way, and naturally, more online clients. And then I just kept going. And then we really, it just took off. And so within less than 6 months of working together, I'd gone from starting out with a reach of 7,460 to having 771,000 1 week.
Wow. And interestingly, the saves on your infographics on average have gone from the beginning what to what?
Mate, let me just pull this up so I've got it. So week one, I had 54 saves across all the posts I did that week. And then in week 25 of working together, I had 19,500 saves.
Wow. Now, guys, we're not going to go into Facebook marketing and advertising, but let me just tell you, the audience reach, the engagement with your content is hugely valuable when it comes down the line to marketing. And we haven't even touched on that with Tom yet. I've got a lot more to kind of work on with terms of, you know, bearing in mind, we haven't done, how many Facebook ads have we done, Tom?
Zero.
Exactly. And everybody's like, we need Facebook ads. Like, let's be honest, Tom got a niche. He knows his core audience. He knows his customers. He's got 20 online followers, which is an increase. If you guys are listening to this right now, 6 to 7 months, an increase in the 3K a month has given him the freedom to back off and spend some time, not back off, but work at home. What I want to just reiterate in this podcast, this is scaling your fitness business. Tom and I were very it's very important for us, if you've got to this point in the podcast, to say neither of us wanted to do this episode and say this is a six-figure podcast. That's so important because Tom's an authentic coach, very passionate, very diligent, and a great human being. Myself, you guys know that my values are work ethic is what makes you successful. Time in the trenches makes you successful. Being knowledgeable makes you successful. Or ditch the whole fitness thing and become a marketer. Because as you, Tom and I are learning, you know, I know this from my game. I spend a lot of time studying marketing, but I still stay grounded with being a great coach. But Tom has done a long time. I mean, interestingly, Tom, just on this point, how do you think that social media, what opportunities do you think it gives trainers? And do you think it's an excuse for a shortcut?
I think it gives a huge opportunity.
Yep.
Before this existed, you know, I've got clients all over the world now. There's no chance I would have that.
Yep.
So it's definitely an absolute opportunity. Shortcut seems like a negative word. I think it's perceived as a shortcut. I'm not sure it is a shortcut. I think you need to put the work in just the same. It's just a different platform for you to reach people and put that work in.
And do you know what's funny? If you start a personal training gym, how long do you think, in your experience, just telling newer trainers to the industry, how long would you give a trainer to have a full diary of 30 sessions a week consistently with referrals? How long do you think that will take?
It's an absolute minimum of 6 months.
Yep.
I would say from the guys I've known and worked with, I think, you know, sometimes it takes a couple of years for people to reach that.
6 months to 12 months. Yep.
Yeah.
And do you know what's interesting with this? I'm having messages from trainers that are saying to me, I started my Instagram page and haven't got any interest, and it's been 2 months. And the first thing that you and I said is, when you're in a gym walking around, you're in front of people that have almost... People in a gym are almost people that have searched for personal trainer on Google. Because if you type personal trainer Nottingham in Google, you're looking for a personal trainer in Google. No one's going on Instagram looking for a skinny guy savior.
Mm.
So they need to be nurtured and built up. In a gym, 3 months to 6 months to 12 months, you've got to nurture, build relationships with people, get to know people. So if it's taking you 6 months to even 2 years to build a personal training business on the ground, trust me, you've got to learn marketing to get online as well. And this is where this episode is, you know, I'm never, ever going to tell you it's going to be easy. But what Tom is able to represent, and this podcast is able to represent, is that it has given a great scale opportunity by being a diligent professional who's followed very strategic systems. And if you are harder, smarter, get clear with your target audience, get clear with your vision, you can scale quite quickly. I'm sure there's a lot of people I know could scale very, very quickly. But, you know, testament to you, and thank you, Tom, for sharing your experience and wisdom with everybody and some of the pitfalls that you've run into along the way. I'm sure down the line, as this grows, we'll be doing another episode to discuss where you're at and how things have changed and what you've come across again. I do want to take this opportunity to thank you, first and foremost. And second of all, I'd like to give you an opportunity to tell people your Instagram. I want people to follow you, first and foremost. That's a big thing. And also, you've got a Skinny Guy Savior download, which I think is, you know, your skinny guys equation, which you can tell everybody about in a second, which is going to be very valuable. So download that, guys. It's always valuable to download people's programs, and then just where you can find you. So Tom, please let everybody know.
All right, mate. Thanks. Firstly, thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure. Really enjoyed it. In terms of finding out more about me or following me, the website is tommccormick.com. The social media I'm by far most active on is Instagram, and I'm just on Tom McCormick there. To get the Ultimate Skinny Guys Bible download, it's in the bio on my Instagram page. Click the link. You'll be able to pop your info in, and it'll get emailed out to you. And then you'll see all the content in there, and the email sequence that follows, educating and communicating with my clients as we go.
And guys, Tom's going to be bringing out the Skinny Guys Bible 2.0 very soon. Invest in it, buy it. This Tom is a very articulate, educated guy, and if you want to level up, read his articles, buy his programs, get involved with him, and if you want to go through the similar sort of process that I've taken Tom through, very soon the Brand Impact Mastery course is going to be available to buy. Drop a link in my Instagram bio if you want to join the beta testing group, which means you'll be available to test it for a dramatically reduced price and give me your feedback so I can bring the perfect final package to you guys. Guys, I'm going to say thank you to Tom. It's been brilliant having you on, and I'm not saying I'm sorry that it's been an hour and 4 seconds, because this is golden. Tom is going to impact many people over the years to come with what he's been able to build, but also he's going to impact many, many hundreds of thousands of people with helping them with solving the skinny guy's equation. So Tom, thank you, mate.
Thanks, mate. Pleasure.